Hello and welcome to Peace, the podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Peace, a United Methodist community in Shoreview, Minnesota. I'm Jason Steffenhagen, the lead pastor. And each episode will typically start with a sacred story reading coming from the Holy Scriptures, followed by the message that was given during our Sunday morning worship time. Any announcements for our community will come at the end of each episode, so stick around. If you are curious about learning more about Peace United Methodist Community, you can go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. If you would like to find more episodes, you can find them on our website or go to our show page, which is peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Once again, that's peacethepodcast.podbean, podbean.com. We hope that you enjoy this episode. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, and now on to the sacred story reading. Before he comes up and reads our sacred scripture reading, I want to introduce really quickly the Reverend Cullen Tanner. The Reverend Cullen Tanner comes from us as a wild card at the moment. He's in between things. He used to be a pastor up in the Anoka area, and then he went to work for the annual conference doing all kinds of things, tech and worship and all kinds of stuff. This is a man who has many, many talents beyond just his ability to communicate. He sings, he does tech stuff, he understands the ins and outs of every church, probably in the Twin Cities, even though this is his first time being here. So we are welcoming him for the first time to Peace. I got to know Cullen through CLA, which is the Clergy Leadership Academy. So a few times a year, I go with other clergy to kind of learn what it means to be a pastor in the UMC. And it's been a real exciting and wonderful time just to build connections, build relationships. And then we learn stuff here and there too. But really, it's about the relationships. And I've enjoyed getting to know Cullen and learn from him and what he's what I can glean a lot from his work over the years. And so he's going to be at a new church coming up this at the end of June up in Champlin. And so we are excited for his ministry to continue in a different form. And so will you please welcome up the Reverend Cullen Tanner.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you to all of you for welcoming me here today. And again, a happy Mother's Day to you all. I know Mother's Day can be a complicated day with complicated feelings for some folks. Relationships to motherhood and mothers can be complicated at times, and all of that is welcome. All of that is under the canopy of God's love and blessing today. I just wanted to throw that out there real quick as I lean into our scripture reading. On a beautiful Mother's Day, we're just going to dive right into the book of Revelation. Because why not? So I'll give a little more background on this in a moment. But for the moment, please invite the Spirit to speak to you through these words from Revelation 11. And I will allow my two witnesses to prophesy for 1,260 days, wearing mourning cloths. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone wants to hurt them, fire comes out of their mouth and burns up their enemies. So if anyone wants to hurt them, they have to be killed in this way. They have the power to close up the skies so that no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy. They also have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with any plague as often they wish. When they have finished their witnessing, the beast that comes up from the abyss will make war on them, gain victory over them, and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie on the street in the great city that is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. And for three and a half days, members of the peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will look at their dead bodies, but they won't let their dead bodies be put in a tomb. Those who live on earth will rejoice over them. They will celebrate and give each other gifts because these two prophets had brought such pain to those who live on earth. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Great fear came over those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven say to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched them. So yeah. We're just going at it today, full speed ahead. Jason and I were chatting at the last Clergy Leadership Academy a few weeks ago, and he heard I was, you know, guest preaching a few spots. He's like, I think I got a Sunday for you, but do you have something to say about trees? And I said, boy, do I ever have something to say about trees. Because this is a text that I did actually a lot of graduate work on. And so I immediately did have this thought about trees, but it's a very different kind of tree. And the last time I preached on this text, it was at my last church. And it was part of a long series about Revelation where I was talking about how we approach the book of Revelation as literature and how that really opens up the meanings that can feel so convoluted at times. And I realized as I was putting all this together, like, I just got this one shot with y'all. And so I'm cramming a lot of information in here. It might feel, might feel a little like drinking out of a fire hose. If you have any questions, because I can't even cover everything that's in this text I read, like not by a long shot, just ask Jason. He's got it covered. So this is a Bible nerd warning. If you're a full-on Bible nerd like me, you will probably enjoy this, but I will be sure to include lots of application and why this matters and why this is, you know, hopefully you can understand why this is in our Bible by the time I'm done with this. How's that sound? Fair? Okay. What does the future hold? It's an age-old question, and as we live in an uncertain and sometimes scary world, we long even more for a way to know the future before it happens. In the 80s and 90s, psychic hotlines were really popular as a way to try and figure out the future. Before that, there was the magic eight ball. And before any of that, there was prophecy. Whether it's someone trying to discern a hidden meaning in scripture or a prediction from Nostradamus, people have used prophecy as yet another way to see the future, like skipping ahead to and reading the end of a book. And today's scripture reading is one of those passages that a lot of ink has been spilled about, these few verses in Revelation 11. It describes a kind of inscrutable series of events. There are these two unnamed witnesses standing at the center of some great city prophesying, and if anyone attacks them, the witness's breath is fire that devours their enemies. And to make things a little more peculiar and to fit the message of in your current series about trees, these two witnesses are also referred to as the two lampstands and the two olive trees. They are people that are also lampstands that are also olive trees. So we'll get there. But if you do a quick YouTube search on the two witnesses, you'll find out real quick that most people's big question around this passage is they want to know who these two witnesses are. Are they Elijah and Moses? Are they Enoch and Elijah? People go to great lengths to parse through every bit of the Bible that they think might have some correlation, that might shed some light on this mysterious passage and what it has to say about the unfolding future and God's plan for the end times. Of course, there's a fundamental assumption that all those people have in common as they come to the book of Revelation. They presume that Revelation is speaking to us in some kind of secret code about the future. They also assume that Revelation is describing future events that will literally happen. And so they need to unpack all these secrets so they know when the end times are unfolding. When these events that Revelation describes begin to take place. This is not my assumption about Revelation. My main assumption, the main assumption I'm working from, is that the book of Revelation is literature. It's a written work in a genre that's called apocalyptic literature, a genre that gets its name from the Greek name of the book of Revelation. And the key feature of this genre, there's all kinds of writings from the ancient world in this genre that are in our Bible and not in our Bibles. But the key feature of this is that fantastical imagery is used to convey spiritual significance of real-life events. And though these images seem mysterious to us, they would have actually been very clear in what their meaning was to the original audience. So you can disagree with me on that assumption, but that's where I'm starting from, and let's plug along here. So like I said, people get all hung up on the identities of these two witnesses, wanting to peek into some hidden future. But let's just take a simple look at the text and see what it wants us to know about these witnesses. And just so you know, this is where we're diving into the deep end of the pool. Things are going to get real Bible nerdy real fast. We'll come back to some application, I promise. And here we go. So let's take a moment and take note of the fact that the Greek word here in this passage for the witnesses is martyrion. And it's the same word. And if that word sounds like the word martyr, it's because that word can be translated both ways as witness or martyr. And in the mind and vocabulary of early Greek-speaking Christians, someone who speaks for their faith and someone who dies for their faith are basically the same thing at this moment in history. And so when these two witnesses die in this story, it's actually no surprise to the first readers of Revelation. And these aren't just witnesses who've seen things, they're witnesses who must tell of what they've seen. Like a witness on Law and Order sitting on a witness stand, it doesn't matter what they've seen if they aren't willing to testify about it. And that's just what these witnesses are doing. They're prophesying. They're telling it how it is. So now let's see how Revelation describes these witnesses. We'll hop back into the text for a moment. It says in verse 4, "These two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and they stand before the Lord of the earth." Okay, so we have these people who are also olive trees, who are also lampstands. I'm just going to say it, that's weird. This is a full-on Revelation mashup of people and trees and lampstands. And let's just think this through for a second. The lampstands, as they are described here, that this book is talking about, aren't just any old lamp you'd have on an end table in your living room. These lamps are menorahs, the kinds of candlesticks that we see in our modern context at Hanukkah, the kinds that they have, and they are the kinds that they had in the temple in Jerusalem. And just like when we light candles in church, these menorahs, these lampstands represented God's presence. Now, what do you do to fuel lamps like those? You fuel, if you know the Hanukkah story, you know that they are fueled with oil, olive oil. And it just so happens that these lampstands are also olive trees. So what does that mean? The candles never go out. They are hardwired with an endless supply of oil, and they are at once a sign of God's presence and a source of energy that continually announces God's presence as they let their light shine. And this kind of wild image should make us stop and take notice. And it made the first audience of these words stop and take notice too, because it reminded them of something they had heard before. Listen to these words that are not from Revelation, but from Zechariah chapter 4. It says, "The angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, 'What do you see?' I answered, 'I see seven solid gold lampstands with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left.'" So this vision from Revelation describes the exact same thing Zechariah saw hundreds of years earlier. These witnesses in Revelation are to be connected with these olive trees that are also lampstands in Zechariah. So, like, what's going on here? Is Revelation ripping off Zechariah or something? What's the deal? And this might come as a surprise to some of you, but in the first century, they did not have Netflix. They didn't have video games. They didn't have podcasts. They didn't even have radio, because this was a long time ago. So what the original audience of this letter did for entertainment was read the Bible and tell the stories. And in their Bible is what we often call the Old Testament or Hebrew Testament. So those ancient readers of the Bible probably knew it better than any of us ever will. And so all it took was one mention of one image from an Old Testament story, and any person with a Jewish background at that time would have had the whole story immediately conjured in their mind. And anytime you're reading the Bible and you're confused by a passage, this is just a hint, a tip for the day, check to see if what you're reading has a reference to the Old Testament or someplace else in Scripture, because that might really help you understand what's happening. So when Revelation says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, the audience not only knows that that the author is talking about Zechariah 4, they also know how the rest of the passage goes. Here's what it says after that. I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? And he replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I said. He said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. So, if we're looking for clarity and a direct answer, Zechariah ain't helping us out much either. We don't get the names of the two witnesses as much as our friends on YouTube would like it. Instead, we find out that they are the ones who are anointed to serve the Lord. Anointing is a funny thing. Again, it's something that has to do with oil. So olive trees are going to come in handy again. When someone is anointed with oil, it's a way of saying that the Spirit of God is on this person. And because the flame in the temple is a sign of God's Spirit, the oil is the fuel for that flame. So when a new king was crowned in ancient Israel, they'd pour olive oil all over them until it ran down their beards as a way of saying, we want a king who is just saturated in the Holy Spirit. And we still anoint people today when they're sick or when they're dying, or to bless them as a way of saying the Holy Spirit is near. So, after bouncing back and forth between Revelation and Zechariah, we still don't really know the identities of these mysterious two witnesses. But we know that these lampstand witness trees are the ones who are anointed to serve the Lord in all the earth. And the identities of the lampstand witness trees are God's chosen people whose task it is to announce the message of God's love and grace to all the world. I'll say it again. See if you can put a puzzle piece together in your mind. The identities of the lampstand witness trees are God's chosen people whose task it is to announce the message of God's love and grace to all the world. Now, who might that be? Do you know of anyone who is called by God to serve, to sacrifice, and tell the world of God's love? Can you think of anyone who fits that criteria? You know who it is. It's you. And it's me. It's all of us. And it's especially those first readers in the first century who could easily envision themselves being put to death if they went out and announced their faith on a street corner. And Revelation is telling them that wherever they go, whatever they must do, whatever difficult truth they must speak, they have the fuel of the Holy Spirit to empower their witness to a broken world. And so do you. And I'd add this, because as I mentioned, a witness and a martyr are basically the same thing in the first century mind. If your act of witnessing doesn't cost you something, I don't know if you've witnessed at all. Because according to Revelation, the Spirit isn't in your witness unless it costs you something. A Spirit-filled witness is a family that settles for a little simpler Christmas so that they can give to a family that wouldn't have had any presents at all. A Spirit-filled witness can look like giving more time and energy than you thought you could to support a church that tells people again and again you belong, you're accepted, you are loved. Other examples of times and places where I've seen a Spirit-filled sacrificial witness include churches that have paid off medical or school lunch debt for their communities. Churches that find ways to work reparations for slavery into their budget. And churches that invest in starting new faith communities. Those are acts that truly witness to the sacrificial love of Jesus. They don't just say Jesus loves you in words. They communicate Jesus' love in deed as well. And as I was first pulling these words together, I was like, man, this is not much of a Mother's Day message. But when you talk about the theme of sacrificial love, is there anything that points to a heart of a mother more than that? And how many of us have experienced the love of God through mothers or mother figures in our lives? And there's one more thought buried in Zechariah that I don't want us to miss this morning. It's Zechariah clarifying the question that he's trying to understand in this image. Here it is. Zechariah says, I asked the angel who talked to me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. All of this is in the mind of this first audience when they hear these words about two witness lampstand olive trees. Now, throughout Christianity's 2,000-year history, we've spent a lot of time and energy and money trying to get to the top through might and power. We've had armies and empires. We've pushed political agendas and sponsored super PACs. But I don't think that's how the kingdom of God comes. It comes when we follow the example of these witnesses in Revelation and witness to God's love through sacrifice. It comes in small, simple gestures in our everyday lives, gestures of obedience and sacrifice, of love and justice. And when we gather together as God's people, we not only see the effects of our faithfulness compound into something that can change our community and our world, we also experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who gives us strength and courage that living as witnesses in the world will always require. At the end of this story of the witness lampstand trees, it talks about how these witnesses are put to death and how they come back to life. And this has led to some of the most imaginative speculation about how all this might play out in the future. But again, the point isn't to tell us what's going to happen in the future, but to tell us how to live right now. And the reality of this message is that sacrificing for the sake of your Christian witness in the world should be the norm among followers of Jesus. You might even have to put some other dreams and goals on hold or even put them to death, because we can know that there's resurrection on the other side. Especially in our consumer-driven society, we often never stop to wonder how we might gain new life and joy if we were to sacrifice for the thing we say we believe in. So, that's my take on the lampstand witness trees of Revelation. I know that some of you might feel like you have more questions than answers at this point, and that's okay. That's part of what it means to be a person in the life of faith, to live with those questions and to trust in God's love, whether or not we have answers at any particular moment. But if you have something specific, I know I deferred to Jason, but I would love to talk with you after the service if you have questions. I didn't give you any great predictions today, even though it was a sermon on Revelation. Sorry, no winning lottery numbers, no guarantee that the Timberwolves will win tonight. That was mostly for Jason, too. Yeah, you bet. But I will make this prediction. If you follow the model set by these lampstand witness trees, if you're willing to sacrifice for the sake of announcing the good news of God's love to the world, you will find resurrection life on the other side. Join your heart with mine in prayer. God of love and hope, we have these words handed down to us from generations as a signpost. And sometimes it is hard to tell where that signpost is pointing. with these words that were written so long ago, so far away, in a language most of us don't know how to speak or read. And yet, somehow, because of your Holy Spirit within us, as a lineage and a strand through time, we can still see how your love is strong and how when we act in faithful love, it bears fruit for peace on earth and for joy throughout the world. We ask that you would help us to find ways to be part of that, to follow the model of Christ in sacrificial love for this earth and the people of it. In Jesus' name.
For our call to worship this morning, I have something a little different than a call and response type prayer that we normally do. Instead, in order to honor and remember Mother's Day, I have a reading that was written by Hannah Carden, pastor of a Methodist church in Elston Avenue. I added a line to this here in the middle, but ultimately this was written by Reverend Carden. And here's how it goes. To the moms who are struggling, to those filled with incandescent joy, to the moms who are remembering children who have passed away and pregnancies that miscarried, to the moms who decided other parents were the best choice for their babies, to the moms who adopted those kids and loved them fierce, to the moms who are incarcerated, longing to be with their children, and to those who provide a mother's care for a season, to those experiencing frustration or desperation in infertility, to those who knew they never wanted kids and the ways they have contributed to our shared world, to those who mothered colleagues, mentees, neighborhood kids, and anyone who needed it, to those remembering moms no longer with us, to those moving forward from moms who did not show love or hurt those they should have cared for, today is a day to honor the unyielding love and care for others we call motherhood, wherever we have found it and in whatever ways we have found to cultivate it within ourselves. Let me pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for mothering. We're grateful for the ways that we feel that fierce strength, that independence, that desire to love and to care no matter what the world throws our way. And so God, in whatever ways that we have been mothered, whatever ways that we express mothering, God, will you bless the moms in our lives? May you bless them and help them to know how special they are and how needed they are in order for life to exist, in order for growth to happen, in order for love to be experienced. May this day, although it may be filled with grief and mourning, may it also be a day of celebration. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Welcome to Peace. My name is Jason Steffenhagen. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I'm the pastor here, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. We got a couple of quick announcements, and then we're going to dive in with some more music this morning. The first is that coming up at annual conference, we are going to be bringing a love offering. This occurs every year at annual conference. And so this is going to be going towards a few key ministries around our globe. And so we want you to be able to check out and learn more about it. We'll show a video next week, which will highlight some more things. But on the back tables where you got your bulletin, there's also a little handout. So if you would like to learn more about where the love offering is going, which it's going to three different places. And so just make sure you check that out. And then, like I said, we'll talk more about it next week when we watch the video. Second announcement is that Family Game Night is coming up next week, next Sunday at 5 o'clock. We're going to be outside. We'll make a bonfire. We'll have hot dogs. We'll have a fun time. We'll have some bocce ball and other games out there. So come, bring some friends, bring some neighbors. It's a nice, fun, casual way to get to know our church community. And so please come to Family Game Night. That's going to be taking place, like I said, next week. And then the following Sunday is going to be our first outdoor discussion, our outdoor service. So on the holidays during the summer, it's Memorial Sunday, usually the 4th of July Sunday, and then Labor Day Sunday. Instead of doing like a sermon, we'll do a little bit of music with Doug, and then I'll kind of lead a large group discussion for those that are able to come on Memorial weekend. And so our first one of these is going to be taking place on Sunday the 26th. And then a couple weeks after that, we'll have a blessing of the animals outdoors as well on the second Sunday in June. So just kind of, I'll send more information about that in the Tuesday news and in announcements, but just wanted to kind of pique your interest there for a second. And then finally, if you have a graduate, which we know some of you have already been sending Gene some of this, on June 2nd, I almost called you June, but I was meant to say June 2nd, email Gene about June 2nd so that we can highlight the different graduates in our community. We want to make sure to get their picture, get some information on what they're doing after graduation, things like that, so we can make sure to celebrate well. Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday and Celebrating Laura Sunday. And so we are excited to just have all the festivities in these next couple of weeks. And so make sure that you come next week to celebrate our confirmands and celebrate Laura. We're so excited to do that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Peace, the podcast. If you would like to learn more about our community, go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. For more episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website or go to the show page, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Again, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. May you experience the love of God, and may you have peace.